and assure success.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Well, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Broadcasting live from the future, the sunny slave capital of Auckland, New Zealand. The allegedly least corrupt country on earth. According to the Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, because obviously perception's reality, which is why there is no Corruption Reality Index. Isn't that right, Will?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was actually having this conversation with some people last night, and they were talking about, you know, how there's now 11 dimensions that are proven and demonstrable, and that effectively, if someone thinks something's true, it is true. But then, you know, you try and argue within the paradigm we live, within this, you know, three-dimensional space within we live, that there are facts and there are fiction, and some people believe in fiction doesn't make it so. But sometimes you have to wonder, you know, sometimes you have to wonder, is what the public believes then the reality, contrary to all the facts and information?
Well, you know, it's the interesting thing. You can build and you can influence reality, but believing in it doesn't mean that you're taking part in actually creating it. All you're really doing is creating a visage for yourself to believe in, right?
According to quantum physics, though, if you believe something's true, it is true, because a thought is a reality.
Yeah, see, well, you know, let's just put a bullet through those people's head, and I'm sure their perception will save them with their bulletproof. I'm sure their bulletproof perception will save them. Okay, see, that's what I think of those people. Okay, seriously, if you want to just play off in hairy fairyland, okay, look, 6 million Jews getting exterminated in World War II, didn't matter what their perception was, they still got exterminated. Period. If anybody is stupid enough to think that your perception is going to save you from anything, get your head out of the quantum physics.
Maybe those people still exist in the other eight dimensions, Vinny. Maybe they're just gone from this three-dimensional state.
Well, these are the sort of excuses we hear.
People grasp at straws and find any way of rationalizing stuff. And that's how you get really, really intelligent people. Now, I run into really, really intelligent people who still think George Bush is a good man. Because they go, look, those elites, they know stuff the average person doesn't. I mean, they're doing it for the greater good. We just don't know it. And like, what, killing for the greater good? They're like, yeah.
Yeah, what about George H.W. Bush getting an award from Barack H. O. Barry? What was it called? The Medal of Freedom. Medal of Mass Murder, more like it. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with guerrillamedia.co.nz. And we'll be here right after this short break. Back in a moment.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you?
And welcome back, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, broadcasting live from the fabulous fluoride fortress of New Zealand in Auckland. And Waiheke Island is my fabulous co-host, Well, Ryan from New Zealand 911 Truth. Hey, I was wondering, well, have you heard about this? Climate change scientists call for food rationing to reduce carbon emissions. You heard about this, man? This is great. Leading scientists have called for World War II style rationing in first world countries to avoid catastrophic global warming in a series of papers published by the United Kingdom's Royal Society. The Second World War and concept of rationing is something we need to seriously consider if we are to address the scale of the problem we face, said Kevin Anderson, director of the Tyndall Centre for Climate Change Research. Now, isn't that great how the climate is just like this big catch-all, and it's just like, hey, the climate's in trouble, so now we have a effing good excuse to control the whole damn globe. The recommendation came after Anderson concluded that no other method could secure the decrease in carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions needed to prevent temperatures from rising to dangerous levels. Without drastic emissions cuts, global temperatures are set to rise more than 4 degrees Celsius, or 7.2 degrees Fahrenheit, by 2060, producing more severe weather events such as floods and droughts, and will inevitably disrupt food production, leading to massive social unrest and large-scale migration, in addition to mass extinction at a rate surpassing even modern levels. Now, see, I wonder, considering we're in the middle of a global food crisis already, and considering we've got huge bad weather events already, I guess their excuse is, they're happening already, but they're going to get worse unless we tax the living bejesus out of everybody and deindustrialize the entire world to turn it into a post-feudal state.
did you say this at 7.2 degrees Celsius increase by 2060?
No, 7.2 degrees Fahrenheit, or 4 degrees Celsius.
That's still ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Even some of the early projections of 3.1, 3.2, ridiculous. It's just so asinine, such an insult to anyone's intellect to think that we could have that sort of increase and it could be attributed to man. I mean, we've had a 0.7 degrees Celsius increase over the last century, but it's now cooling. We're now in a cooling trend for the last 13 years. But a 0.7 degrees Celsius increase over 100 years, that's since, the inception of the internal combustion engine, the use of fossil fuels, the huge industrial growth that went on from 1945 to 1972, during which period of time there was a cooling trend also. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I can't believe people swallow it. And I can't believe that people, that good, honest people can see governments like having people in a state of fear, governments like the idea of having this global terrorist threat, Al-Qaeda, that could strike us at any time. I know people are completely cynical about that. They can see through that. And then they can't see how environmentalism and saying climate change is the other boogeyman that catches all, that surrounds all. They can't see that.
Well, dumb, have you noticed, Will, people, that every single solution that they propose here is socialism and total dictatorial control and micromanagement of everybody's lives? I mean, look at this. Anderson noted that the type of rationing needed would be relatively moderate. Oh, of course, don't scare anybody. Involving limiting electricity usage, setting a maximum level for home thermostats, and mandating replacement of older appliances with newer energy-efficient devices. Another suggestion was to place limits on food imported from great distances, to avoid those food crises, which Russia is now unable to actually export any of its wheat due to the big fires that it had last year. Adjusting to these limitations would only entail simple lifestyle changes, he claimed. Yeah, simple lifestyle changes, as in the government comes in and electronically, remotely controls absolutely everything that goes on in your freaking life.
Well, look at this. I mean, who is the reason? What is the reason for New Zealanders having to get their food, so much of their meat from the United States? Our tomatoes, all our veggies from the United States, our oranges, when we can grow perfectly beautiful oranges in Kerikeri, north of Auckland here. I mean, what is the reason for this? Well, because these FTA agreements, because of these globalist scum who've hijacked our own economy, and our government makes big multinational agreements with all these foreign corps, Monsanto and all their derivatives. I mean, that they're the problem, and then they offer the solution too. I'm saying we can have a solution-based society of our own without their oversight. And it kind of gets into it does go into the debate of socialism versus, you know, free market, because it depends whether you think a group of people, given our tax money, should be empowered to make such decisions, whether it's for the betterment of society or not, or whether you think that individuals empowered in society can make good decisions for society. See, I have more faith in individuals in society than I do in government. And that is why I'm not for big government. That's why I'm for empowering people. But the leftists never get that. They have faith in government, and they are scared of free people. They're scared of armed people with guns. They're scared of people who can grow their own food. They're scared of people who are independent, because they don't think that's collectivist. They don't think that's helping each other. They don't understand that strong, independent people will help the poor person, will help the homeless, will set up charities, will, like a lot of the Christian groups in the United States, offer to pay the government to take kids out of foster care. Instead, they give them to monsters like Michael Jackson. You know, and people don't understand this. People don't understand that an empowered citizenry is always going to be better than a big government.
Yep. Well, just bear in mind that every single economy that has been centrally planned and centrally implemented throughout history has not worked. In fact, has dissolved into genocide, war, and starvation. Every single one.
They call that working, though. It's like the economy goes into boom-bust cycles, so does society. It goes in boom-bust cycles, and they think, okay, bring out the next dictator. Bring out the next Mussolini. Bring out the next, you know, you name it. They think that's a success story, because what it does is allows them to slowly consolidate with each new rollover, with each new revolution, supposed revolution.
Oh, I just love it. Don't you love it, Will? I mean, seriously, being a slave, being in a state of like a potential genocide, is just warms the cockles of me heart. Speaking of which, Arab states must heed mass demands. This is from guerrillamedia.co.nz. Egypt's top cleric, Sheikh Yusuf al-Kawadari. Oh, hold on. Let me try that again. Yusuf al-Kawadari, there we go, has called on Arab states to heed the demands of their people as anti-government protests continue to rock the Arab world. Cairo's prayers leader said in an address to thousands of Egyptians on Friday that, quote, Egyptians want to get rid of Mubarak's designated government. The cleric also called on the military to release hundreds of pro-democracy protesters during the demonstrations. Egyptians have gathered in Cairo's Liberation Square to hold a quote-unquote victory march to celebrate the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak's despotic regime. The march is also viewed as a warning to the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces that assumed power last week following Mubarak's ousting. And Egypt's main opposition group, the Muslim Brotherhood, CIA-funded and founded, has urged Egyptian people to guard the revolution as people continue to demand their rights. Now, the group has also called on the Egyptians to, quote-unquote, not allow opportunists to kidnap the revolution, warning that Egypt may slide into dictatorship again, which I'm sure the Muslim Brotherhood is already working on. Egyptians have warned that they will continue the nationwide protests if their demands are not met. Now, this it's kind of like this big chaotic type thing in the Middle East at the moment, isn't it? Well, because we have a huge destabilization going on, and then what's going to happen is all the oil prices are going to shoot up, and then as everybody else is dealing with these carbon taxes, food rationing, and total government control and surveillance of everything, they'll then have the whole starvation problem on their hands because they won't be able to afford food or their petrol, and they won't be able to do jack, and so they will just beg to be taken to a frickin' fucking FEMA camp, and then as the government becomes progressively more tyrannical with police on the streets, I can guarantee you somebody's going to stand up and be the chosen leader of whatever of the entire freaking world, and the UN's probably going to have to say, oh, well, the entire world's in turmoil and chaos from all these food crisis, which we created, and all these oil crisis, which we created, and now you have to make sure that you give in to a loving socialist world government, which we created.
I mean, we're climbing, you know, it's climbing back up to $100 a barrel. It's not at 2008 highs yet, but the trend's going that way.
It's going to hit 200 by the end of the year, apparently.
And, you know, at the same time, they're having to manipulate the price of silver and gold down. You know, JP Morgan's been charged with this. The Chinese are helping manipulate the price of gold down. They have to. Otherwise, the currencies are going to crash. Now, if for gold to go up, the currencies have to go down, or vice versa. And they know that. And so they have to manipulate down the price of these commodities. And yeah. when the dam bursts, when the wall breaks, we're all in trouble. I mean, India and China are now positioned. India and China are buying so much gold, something like 367 tons last year, that the US had to finally put limits on how much they'd sell to them. China owns 25% of their foreign debt. I mean, strategically, the United States, the US dollar is in a bad position right now. It's in limbo. It's been doing kind of well. New Zealand dollars is about 76 cents currently, but it's only there because of this quantitative easing too, this fake injection that Obama put in. Another trillion or so dollars is thrown at it, made up out of thin air. We'll have a subsiding effect for a little while, but once that wears off, you've just got a bigger bubble to deal with. And frankly, they need to just keep out of the Middle East and mind their own business. I don't think it's anything to do with any Westerner, to be honest.
Well, they've been in there for a long time. It's like, well, we've got this policy of intervention. It's like, hey, there's a country half the world away that has nothing to do with us. You know what we should do? We should invade them because they're a massive threat. You know, completely deindustrialized societies, obviously just a massive threat. Let's freak the living bejesus out of everybody and just say, oh, well, you know, unless we intervene, the world will all descend into chaos. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just this massive fear-mongering BS pile that has no justification whatsoever, unless, of course, you happen to be in Bahrain, where this article here comes from, Guerrilla Media, army massacring Bahraini protesters. The Bahraini military has opened machine gun fire on protesters who were trying to reach hospitals, injuring hundreds in what appears to be an attempted massacre, medics say. The army has prevented ambulances and medics from reaching those wounded amid massive pro-democracy protests in Bahrain. Dr. Ghassem, a resident of Salmanaye Hospital in Manama, told Press TV on Friday. He said that the protesters were marching to a hospital in silence to visit those wounded in the previous rallies when they were ambushed by troops waiting near the hospital. They did not even chant anti-government slogans. They wanted to visit those injured on Thursday, Dr. Ghassem said. He maintained that the massacre was planned in advance.
My advice to them is, why are you protesting for democracy? Just have a look at the democracies around the world and ask yourself, why, oh why, would you want a stable, secular democracy in the Middle East? What do you think is going to happen? You're going to end up on the same funny money as the rest of us. You're going to end up with the same social problems as the rest of us. You're going to end up a culture of Coca-Cola and McDonald's like the rest of us. I mean, you idiots. I mean, idiots. They need to go.
Will, it's the best system we've got.
it's the best system we've got, yeah.
I hate that.
Kill yourselves. I mean, people really think that. People who really, really, really think that the society we live in here in New Zealand, the society you have in the US or in Britain right now, if that's the best humanity has to offer, the people who believe in that, kill yourselves, because I don't want you part of my future. I mean, seriously, I mean, keep the hell out of the way, because you guys are sick in the head. I mean, you're just sanctioning murder by saying that.
Can't be terribly bright, can they? Speaking of not terribly bright, World Bank says that food prices are at dangerous levels. And it's probably because a whole bunch of the World Bank partners and investors, including Bank of America, et cetera, have been gambling on the stock market of using derivatives of death on food prices and causing them to jump up to unprecedented levels, in my opinion.
Let's explain one thing. Let's just explain one thing here, especially if there's any leftists listening, which I doubt, because most educated people only listen to the show. What exactly is a price? If prices are jumping up, what exactly does that mean? If global food prices are jumping up, that doesn't. It's like saying gold prices are jumping up. Gold prices aren't jumping up. The value of our currency is descending down. And that's what people need to realize. Oh, the price of milk and bread's gone up. Oh, everything's gone up. Why is it? Because of inflation. Simply because of inflation. Simply because of foreign debt. And then, and they won't see that. They will never, ever, ever see that. I mean, the inflation, just in my lifetime of being a consumer, it's just ridiculous, you know. I mean, I walked into a liquor store the other day. I don't drink much. Half a dozen of the same beer when I worked in a liquor store at age 18, you know, 8 years ago, $8.50 then, now $13.80. You know, combos, Big Mac combos, not that I'm a fan of Big Macs or anything, were $5 back at the same period of time. Now pushing $8, $9.
Yeah,
I mean the prices haven't gone up. It's the cost of that producing that material hasn't gone up. What's gone down is our currency. Our real buying power has disintegrated due to our global currencies crashing because the pan's being leaked because a bunch of central banker scum are getting rich on us all. I mean that's
yeah, and they're doing and then all the left can do is can go. Design.
And then all the left can go.
By design. So, if you wanted to understand this kind of thing, go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives in 2010, scroll down pretty much to the bottom and listen to our interview with John Truman Wolf, the author of Crisis by Design. The economy is extremely easy to control, especially if you control the issuance of currency, as the international bankers do. And they're all owned by a small clique of effing scumbags who have no interest in the rest of the world being prosperous. The only interest they really have is deindustrializing, devaluing, and defreedomizing, if that's even a word, your country and your soul. In a very evil sense of the word. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and we'll be right back after the break. WillamMedia.co.nz. From the future, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Getting into this article here from GorillaMedia.co.nz, World Bank, food prices at dangerous level. Global food prices have hit dangerous levels that could contribute to political instability, push millions of people into poverty and raise the cost of groceries, according to a new report from the World Bank. And those of you who have been listening to this show for more than a couple of weeks, you would know that this was going to happen. Well, in advance, the bank released a report Tuesday that said global prices have jumped 29% in the past year and are just 3% below the all-time peak hit in 2008. 2008, of course, being the financial crisis where the enormous derivatives bubble, including derivatives of death, known as food trading derivatives, hit an all-time high. Instantly, coincidentally, of course, Bank President Robert Zoellick. Who is this Robert Zoellick? I don't know. I've never heard of him. But, you know, he's controlling your food prices to a certain extent, isn't he? Said the rising prices have hit people hardest in the developing world because they spend as much as half of their income on food? Hmm. Well, I would probably venture a guess that we're not too far behind that. My girlfriend just went out and did a whole bunch of shopping, and a week's shopping normally costs about maybe, I don't know, $100 or so, and now it's 150. So that's a big increase just in the last month and a half. food prices are the key and major challenge facing many developing countries today, as well extend. The World Bank estimates higher prices for corn, wheat and oil have pushed 44 million people into extreme poverty since last June. The report comes a day before finance ministers and central banks chief from the group of 20 leading economies meet in Paris. Zoylik said he's worried some countries might react to food inflation by banning exports or implementing price controls, which would just aggravate the problem. Well, Russia's banned the export of their wheat because a lot of their crops were destroyed in fires, and so they're trying to avert a food starvation. So that's apparently bad, according to the World Bank, avoiding starvation. And price controls is also a bad thing.
And Frontera over New Zealand here have frozen the price of milk till the end of the year. Frozen at a nice, high, deliciously high level, mind you. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, all these market manipulations result in further problems down the track, of course. You can't interfere. With the true free market without, you know, you don't get anything for free.
Well, so, when was the last time we actually had a true market? In fact, has a true free market ever existed before?
No. Well, I'm just saying the more interactions, government and institutions, the more manipulations they have in a market, the more they affect its ability to respond to demand and supply. They act like a delay process within the whole mechanisms. Anyway, they're an inefficiency, ultimately.
Well,
They're not just a planned inefficiency. They're a widely agreed upon inefficiency, and that's why I'm against all these so-called activists here in New Zealand who agree with a big taxation model to save the country's economy and to help people on the ground. It's just so ridiculous. Because it's not a food price problem. When food's going up and oil's going up and your clothing's going up, and just, when everything across the board is going up, it's not a food price problem. It's a currency devaluation problem.
Yeah, and so the solution is...
And so people say, on general statements, I mean, Penny Bright came on here the other day and she just said that I think the wealthy should pay more tax. And by wealthy, she doesn't mean David Rockefeller and the Rothschilds. Because, look, no offense here, but a lot of these people don't even know about those individuals. Okay? By wealthy, she means the man down the road from me here with a V8 Holden Commodore and a speedboat. And he's not wealthy, but he's got disposable income, so he's got $100,000 worth of toys there and an $800,000 house, you know? That's okay. I don't know what he's done in his life to earn that. That's fine. But People would then say, some on the left would say, he should pay more for the others who have less. So ultimately, he should engage in a wealth transfer of tax to the government that then goes on to pay the central banks. He should have his wealth transferred to them so that someone else, so he can have a more equal suffrage with someone else further down the scale than him.
Yeah, and that's the same idea behind climate change, carbon taxes, and that kind of stuff. And they actually state it is a wealth transfer from the West to the developing countries of this world. And so what's going to happen, really, is the fact that, you know, and they come up with all these other excuses. This has been tried before, of course, and they said, oh, well, you know, they don't have enough healthcare, or they don't have enough industry or whatever, so we just need to give them stuff, or there's too many of them having babies, blah, 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 blah. Well, the answer to that is to industrialize those nations, not usurp all their resources and then give them carbon tax memos from the World frickin' bank, which the third world countries walked out on the Copenhagen agreements because of, because each and every one of them had been effed over by the World Bank and IMF to no end under ridiculously high interest charges on the big loans that they give out to people to basically completely subjugate any nation that could ever conceivably want freedom, you know? Even, look at the birth rates in industrialized nations. They're like 1.6, 1.7, 1.8. I mean, and you need 2.1 at the very least in order to ensure that your country doesn't go extinct. And they get real ticked off about these so-called developing nations having a birth rate of like 3.8, 4.1 or whatever the heck. They're having more children and more of their children die because, well, they don't have the Western healthcare. And of course...
Now you're going too far, Vin. You're endorsing
maybe, maybe I am, maybe
no,
I am. But,
no, it's
but
the mortality rate. That's the only thing... That's the main thing that's improved. Instead of just saying Western healthcare, it's not Western healthcare that's good. There's one aspect of Western healthcare that's improved over the last century markedly, and that's overall affected our longevity statistics amongst Westerners, and that is infant mortality rates, because it wasn't that people didn't live into their 90s a century ago. It was that a lot of people died before age 10 of now curable diseases. And they died in labor, a whole lot of them died in labor. So now that whole process is better managed. People aren't living as long actually as they were a century ago, but less people are dying at a young age. So the statistics balance out to a higher average.
And what most people don't realize is that if you go to any old cemetery and you have a look at the averages of how people die and stuff like that, that's how they did it. They averaged it out. Like, people would be living to like 80, 90, whatever, but a lot of people would be dying at birth from infant mortality. So what they did is they took that as the average and then plateaued them across each other and says, oh, well, the average lifespan is only 40, when the people who do live for a very long time, and those who don't live die very, very early on. That doesn't mean that there's a short lifespan. It just means that the infant mortality rate was high. That's all it is. And what's interesting about industrialized societies is that one of the reasons I would postulate that we have a very low birth rate is that when you become an industrialized society, the cost of living becomes exponentially enormous, and it is so hard to afford to raise children in this day and age because it is not cheap. And not to mention the fact that all of our currencies are being manipulated and all the value of our dollar is being sunk
Going back to your point, you said the people who believe in a big taxation model are on a similar path of thought to the climate changes. And that's exactly right. And that's why you find you go to tumeki.co.nz, you go to any of these leftist blogs here, and that's why you find exactly the same people who agree with the man-made climate change model are on the aggressive taxation side, generally statist, leftist, people who believe in a big, nice government to just cozy us all up and make a fire for us every night. It's these sort of people. And so that's why I know, in my heart of hearts, that's why I know it's not a scientific cause. It's not for scientific reasons that they subscribe to climate change. That's why
exactly.
I know that.
It's a political agenda.
It's a political agenda, and it appeals to people on the political left more than the political right. And just as the war on terror appeals, it's not a scientific reasoning behind, you know, 9/11 being done by the Arabs or not. It appeals
because
to
if you did
politics.
Scientific analysis of like how likely you are to die from a terrorist attack, there are like 1,000 times more people that die of peanut allergy.
That's relativism. Yeah. I'm just saying, without relativism, Al Qaeda didn't do that attack. It was.
Yeah, I know, but of course, but you know,
I'm not going to compare who dies more.
Conversely. Yeah. But conversely, I mean, like, if something was real, real dangerous, you know, we were going to spend billions of dollars and take away everybody's rights to do it. I mean, why don't we have a war on peanuts?
I agree. I mean,
statistically, they're far more dangerous than terrorists.
I mean, I agree. I mean, they just don't have, I don't have the marketing factor, you know, because a peanut's not quite as intimidating as this, you know, Durka Durka guy wearing a big, you know, the images they can portray, And they've had Arabs blowing stuff up for 30 years all over Hollywood. They were the boogeyman after the Russians were, the Germans, and so on and so forth.
Well, maybe we can make a spoof film, well, like Attack of the Peanuts, and or even better yet, we can replay that that film Attack of the Killer Tomatoes on TV and like make heaps of sequels and stuff like that. Then when everybody's real frightened about their tomatoes uprooting and coming and killing them all, we can then say we want to have a war on tomatoes. And in order to make sure that this happens, we need to have strict government control of everybody's gardens to make sure they don't plant these dangerous fruits.
My point is, though, I mean, people go along the lines of a certain premise, and there's just a model of the mind for someone who believes in climate change. And I know the model of their mind. There's a few curveballs I might not understand about them, but by and large, we've had them on this show. I've laid into them, as everyone knows. But I mean, regardless of that, there's just a model of their mind that you can see, right, over a period of time. And go, yeah, that person's a scumbag. That person's a big government enabling, you know, genocide enabling piece of trash who doesn't want to take responsibility for themselves, who just wants the experts to run everything. And oh, you need to get an expert to do this, an expert to do that, an XYZ bureaucracy. I mean, these people, I wish they were just smarter in working out the premise of their beliefs. Instead, they wade straight into the premise. And then some of them are quite intelligent, and then they devote all that intelligence to the nitpicking in that paradigm. How can we save on CO2 emissions? Can we, you know, cut back on trains, planes, and automobiles in some fashion? Can we regulate this, that, and the other? They've jumped into the paradigm, and then they divert all their intellect into finding nitpicking ways to make our lives difficult. And I resent them. I mean, I really, really hate their guts. And they're just a bunch of ninnying leftists that when the government disintegrates, they'll just be like out there on the street going, just, you know, just bawling their eyes out and not knowing where to turn for a diaper. Like, really, really, they're really, really sick of me because they're out of touch with just the whole nature of reality.
Yeah, I mean, when people talk about changing the world, they talk about transitioning. Right, here's my thought on transitioning. You need to transition from being dependent to being independent. Okay? Period. That's your solution. If you can't feed yourself, well, you need to have a garden so that you can. If you can't drink clean water, well, you need to get yourself something to catch water with so that you can. Okay, and eventually, if you keep having a look at all these things that you can't do currently by yourself, just in order to keep yourself alive, and these are the simple things like food, water, shelter, and going on from that, you need electricity and you need something to power your car. There are many devices out there that you can make yourself. You go to Fuel Savers That Really Work. .com is a book that Jonathan Eisen wrote. It's got about 115 or something.
And you don't even need a car. In the ultimate breakdown of things, when society were to collapse, you know, you're not going to that job down at Price Waterhouse anymore. You don't need the Mercedes, but you need basic food and water. But the government's got people to the point where, you know, if you told the average person to go grab a chicken and slit its throat, they would not be able to. I don't even know if they'd be able to if their life depended on it. And that's because this government's put this padding around us. I mean, that's the problem. We're not allowed guns here in New Zealand just to go out and shoot our food. You can't do it. How are they going to do it in an emergency situation?
They can't be everywhere. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Huge solar flare jams radio satellite signals. This is from NASA. Powerful solar eruption that has already disturbed radio communications in China could disrupt electrical power grids and satellites used on Earth in the next days, NASA said. The massive sunspot, which astronomers say is the size of Jupiter, is the strongest solar flare in 4 years, NASA said on Wednesday. The Class X flash, the largest such category, erupted at 1:50:0156 Greenwich Mean Time Tuesday, according to the US Space Agency. X-class flares are the most powerful of all solar events that can trigger radio blackouts and long-lasting radiation storms, disturbing telecommunications and electric grids. Now, interesting, because this has been talked about quite a bit, hasn't it? Especially in the 2012 movement, as some description of sign of the end times.
But it's not solar warming, Vinny. It's not solar warming. I think the SUVs here caused the solar flare. That's my theory. I think the solar flare is man-made.
Let's see if you've got any facts or evidence to make it up. Or any empirical evidence, preferably. Yes, yes, yes. Now, restoring economic sovereignty and the push for state-owned banks. It's time to declare sovereignty from the multinational banks, which are responsible for much of our current economic crisis. Every year, we ship over $1 billion in Oregon taxpayer dollars to out-of-state and multinational banks in the form of deposits, only to see that money invested elsewhere. It's time to put our money to work for Oregonians. Bill Bradbury, former Oregon State Senate President and Secretary of State, quoted in The Nation, responding to an unfilled need for credit for local government, local businesses and consumers, three states in the last month have introduced bills for state-owned banks, Oregon, Washington and Maryland, joining Illinois, Virginia, Massachusetts and Hawaii to bring the total number to 7. Now, I would wonder, it's a good idea, methinks, for states to have their own banks and issue mint their own currency and stuff like that, but that still doesn't get rid of the Federal Reserve, does it? Now, speaking of middle America, Arkansas cities feel unexplained surge in earthquakes. Now, there's been a couple of videos come out from this dude, I forget his name, but apparently the Gulf of Oil Cano incident ruptured the fault line that runs through the middle of the United States and runs up through the Mississippi Basin, and apparently the oil canic activity, the seafloor broke apart, and oil is still spewing forth into the Gulf. This, of course, unreported in mainstream media, which is why, of course, there's still planes and boats everywhere throughout the Gulf, spraying Corexit 9500, sending all that oil back down to the bottom, claiming, oh, the crisis is over. That's total BS. And apparently, and this is one of the things that has been stipulated, the oil is in fact making its way into the fault line and lubricating it. Now, Jim Suttonfield was briefly puzzled by a thumping sound that seemed to slam the back of his office chair. But when the small town Arkansas fire chief turned and saw no one was around, he quickly realized it was just an earthquake. Again, that was only my second time to feel one, but others here have felt them for 3 or 4 months now, Greenbrier's chief Jim Sutterfield said after feeling the latest tremor on Wednesday. Now it happens, people say, well, there's another one. Several small earthquakes ranging in magnitude from 1.8 to 3.8 have rattled the north-central Arkansas city of Greenbrier and this week, and the cause is unknown. The U.S. Geological Survey has reported that more than 30 quakes in the area since Sunday, including a magnitude 3.8 quake on Thursday morning and at least 16 others occurring Wednesday, two of which were magnitude 3.2 and 3.5. More than 700 quakes have occurred in the region over the past 6 months. Scott Orsbrooks, geohazard supervisor of the Arkansas Geological Survey, said the quakes are part of what is now called the Guy Earthquake Swarm, a series of mild earthquakes that have been occurring periodically since 2009. A similar swarm occurred in the early 1980s when a series of quakes hit Enola Ark. Orsbrooks and geologists are still trying to discover the exact cause of the recent seismic activity, but have identified two possibilities. It could only be a naturally occurring swarm like the Enola Swarm, or it could be related to ongoing natural gas exploration in the area, he said. A major source of natural gas in Arkansas is the Fayetteville Shale, an organically rich rock formation in north-central Arkansas. Drillers free up the gas by using hydraulic fracturing or fracking, instead pressurized water to create fractures deep in the ground. Osbrook said geologists don't believe the production wells are the problem, but rather the injection wells that are used to dispose of frack water when it can no longer be reused. The wastewater is pressurized and injected into the ground. We see no correlation between natural gas production wells and earthquakes, but we haven't ruled out injection wells, he said, adding that if production wells were the cause, the earthquakes would be scattered all over the region, underlain by the Fayetteville Shale Formation, and not in just one area. Hey, it's an interesting thing, this kind of doomsday climatic stuff. Because apparently, and these are some of the predictions that are coming out, and I'm not sure if I believe them yet, but growing evidence, perhaps, might produce itself. This fault line, apparently, runs all the way out the Mississippi Delta, and one of the things is predicted to happen is that it will basically shift massively, and water is going to flood up through it. Okay, so it means that it'll basically cut the United States eastern seaboard off from the Midwest all the way along the Mississippi Delta and sink virtually everything in between. This is one of the things that are predicted. And, of course, you'd have to have billions and billions of dollars, or preferably millions and millions of body bags and Dixie cup type caskets to bury all the bodies in, because anybody who's stuck in that particular area during such event, they're pretty slim chance of survival. But conveniently, FEMA has planned ahead, and they have millions upon millions of big plastic caskets that you can fit up to four bodies in. And also, they have stockpiled copious quantities of meals ready to eat, enough to feed a million plus people. So don't worry. The apocalypse comes, you'll certainly have a nice cozy grave and a few meals to have in the meantime. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be back in the second hour soon. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Speaking of collaboration, an incredibly talented and well-documented individual who we've had on the show a couple of times joins us now. His name is Gordon Duff, the chief of Veterans Today, and we have some important topics to talk about. Gordon, are you there on the line, mate?
Vinny, pretty good. How are you two? Good. How are you two guys doing? Will on
good,
with
thanks,
us today?
Gordon. Good to hear you. Yeah. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Will. How are you doing?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Yeah. How's things over there in the US of A?
Not so cold, and with a little luck, it's going to come apart like Egypt. We can only hope.
Always think positive. Now, speaking of thinking positive, the FBI, this is an article in from the Intel Hub, FBI says there is a 100% chance of WMD attack days after San Diego nuke story. And apparently, I think it was on Fox 10 or something like that, they went down to interview a couple of Port Authority workers. One of them let it slip that they had, in fact, found a nuclear device. But, of course, Homeland Security denies this. Now, what's your take on this, Gordon? You've heard of these stories, of course.
Oh, it's a... I found the video piece from Fox down in San Diego uniquely amusing. It's one of those leaks, you know, that
Done. ABC 10, sorry.
That was a Fox station. But anyway, yeah, the whole thing looked No question at all whatsoever. It's totally set up. Now, it's not to say that there, you know, there aren't nuclear weapons out there, and haven't always been, but some other agenda. I mean, you know, we've got one game going on here after another in this country to disrupt people, and if they can, you know, bring up this nuclear weapon issue, because I wasn't kidding about the Egypt thing here in the Midwest, in Wisconsin, in Ohio. We have the edges of insurrection here. The state house in Wisconsin's been taken over. Ohio's coming apart. I mean, just like Egypt. It's pretty hopeful. It almost reminds me of the 60s and 70s.
Well, you know, and they worked out very well, especially for the protesters at college who got shot. But I would venture a guess that the U.S. government isn't going to take any type of insurrection or revolution lying down. My thoughts are that it's the government who would fire the first shot, and then they'd have a huge barrel load of trouble on their hands.
Well, the thing we have in the U.S., we've got 50 little fiefdoms. And some of them are run by political groups who are fairly hostile to the federal government. So nothing makes the feds any happier than seeing the political enemies of the federal government, who are, in fact, in charge of Wisconsin and Ohio, take it in the back of the head. And we've got 25,000 people have seized the state house in Wisconsin. This probably isn't, I don't know, you've got a pretty good American audience here, but we've had some rather bizarre legislative acts committed by our recent Tea Party pro-constitutionalists seem to get into office, and they've had some kind of overnight conversion into vampires. But
I wish I could say that I was surprised, because they're a bunch of blood-sucking scumbags anyway. The true meaning of politics, poly meaning many, and ticks meaning enormous blood-sucking insect. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest from Veterans Today is Gordon Duff, joining us for this hour, and we'll be right back after the break.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, which is now pumping up quite well on the hits. So if you have visited the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and in fact now if you just go to your web browser and type in Vinnie Eastwood, it comes up with the VinnieEastwoodShow.com anyway, which is good. Now, our very special guest, Gordon Duff, joins us live stateside. Gordon, welcome back.
Well, you know, Vinny, I was probably ill-mannered, which I'm guilty of pretty much continually. But, you wanted to talk about nukes, and, things are moving forward in that area as far as the information that's coming out. Now, at Veterans Today, we brought on board a couple of weeks ago Dmitry Kolesov, who is a Soviet... how do we describe this?
Is he the guy who's a nuclear expert, and he's theorizing that the World Trade Centers were brought down in part with nuclear devices? Is that the one?
Well, that's the guy, but we're debriefing him on. That's it. He has his theories, and he's very strong on his theories. But he also had his job with the Soviet government, and we're debriefing him on this. And Kolesov is sitting on a ton of intelligence that the Soviets had gathered on the United States. And that intelligence is a mother lode, and he's never known what it was worth. So, not only do I think we can maybe go over some of that, and I think we can probably schedule bringing him on, too.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is the interesting thing about veterans today is that they do have a lot of intelligence people, well, ex-intelligence people. Basically, anybody who winds up telling the truth and then gets fired for it somehow or other winds up working for veterans today.
well, we just brought on last week the European Center for Counterintelligence out of Belgrade, which includes of the former Eastern Bloc, several of the intelligence chiefs, including the active intelligence chief and heads of the military of Serbia and Montenegro, which gives us some insights into the end of the Cold War and terrorist operations in Southwest Europe. And we're picking up a lot from that, and I hope to develop some of it into material that'll be good for your audience. But of Dmitry, you know, we've got his issue about 9/11, and probably there are other areas that, and we can go into that, but Dmitry dropped a couple of bombs on us here in the last day or so. One of the things, of course, which isn't a controversy necessarily, but he's got detailed information about the nuclear arsenal of Brazil. And when he left the Soviet services in 1992, Brazil had 20 nuclear weapons then. Not a question, not imagination, hard intelligence. If they had them,
but not hard intelligence, and we know where the weapons are. They're in the area around Baghdad, north, south, east.
No,
and west.
Brazil.
Yeah. Well, I know, but you know, we hear these kind of things about quote unquote hard intelligence, and sometimes it's like just CIA fabrication. And I just kind of wanted to preface this this topic here, Gordon, by reading out a bit of this article in from the Intel Hub, if I may.
Sure.
FBI says there is a 100% chance of a WMD attacks days after San Diego nukes story by Alex Thomas from the Intel Hub. Just days after El Halor, San Diego assistant port director and an officer with Customs and Border Protection admitted that weapons of mass effect had entered a port somewhere in the San Diego area, Dr. Vahid Majidi, the FBI's assistant director in charge of the FBI's Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate, has stated that there is a 100% chance of a WMD attack in America. The notion of probability of a WMD attack being low or high is a moot point because we know that the probability is 100%, Majidi says. We've seen this in the past and we will see it in the future. There is going to be an attack using chemical, biological, or radiological material. With documented evidence that Al-Qaeda was created by Western intelligence and the FBI has literally given lone wolf terrorists multiple bombs, the idea that the assistant director in charge of FBI's Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate is openly declaring a WMD attack will happen should raise alarms throughout America. While Majidi did say terrorists would most likely employ chemical, biological, or radiological weapons rather than a nuclear device, the idea that a major nuke could go off in an American city is nothing new. So let's talk about this.
Well, Alex is a good friend. And, you know, frankly, over the last week, when this story came out of San Diego, you know, if you were to track emails down, Alex and I have been going over this for a few days, and, you know, Alex is good people, no question about this. And we certainly went through this. Now, as far as the FBI trusting them, well, Vinny, I think you're dead on the money about the disinformation aspect of that. This WMD stuff, first of all, when we're talking about WMDs and terrorists, and then in the same hand, Alex and I are totally on the same page that there ain't no terrorists. It's all nothing but baloney. If we're getting any WMDs, and the FBI is telling us, well, they can absolutely be certain because you know it's them that are going to be using them. You know,
what? Yeah. Because then it is I that will be effed, not the FBI.
Well, there was an interesting point we came up with today. I had a couple hours worth of discussion with Bruce Campbell and Dmitry and Bob Nichols of the Livermore Labs. We were talking about the 1995 attack, terrorist attack in Oklahoma City. Now, one of the things Dimitri brought to the table was that the Richter scale read 3.0 for the Oklahoma attack. Now, I'll try to run through that. It's a math issue here, but this is a, and we did a lot of math. We had a lot of fun with math today. A 3.0 on the Richter scale in a totally underground device is essentially 30 tons of TNT, or 50 tons, mind you, 50 tons of the slurry that they claim was used, which was made out of fuel oil and ammonia nitrate. With the exception, the way the crater, or the explosion, left a large crater out in the street, but 70% of the damage was against the buildings, meaning that essentially 70% of the explosion went up and away, and it still produced that 3.0 Richter scale 7 kilometers away. Now, after sitting down with experts today and outlining exactly how much fuel oil and fertilizer in 55-gallon barrels, which really you and I know carry 42 gallons of material, how many barrels were in the back of that truck to make that hole and to cause the seismic signature that they got, we came to an answer. Now, picture a Ryder truck. It's got a 10-foot roof. It's 8 feet across. It's 15 feet deep. And inside, they put, in barrels, mind you, 1,354 barrels. Now,
well, I'm sure that they had Mary Poppins' magic bag in the back of that Ryder truck in order to accomplish this. But, of course, news reports coming out during this big crisis of the Oklahoma City bombing concluded that there must have been explosives planted in the buildings. Who was it? I believe somebody found...
Well, there were multiple
found...
explosives. There were multiple explosives reported, and the secondary device was found. And then all of a sudden it was hushed up, just like the secondary explosions on 9/11.
Well, the estimate I'm getting from Dimitri, but from others here, is that this was a nuclear device, and this is considered, according to the intelligence agencies, this is considered a slam dunk that the device was in the neighborhood of 100 tons or more of TNT. And it was fully nuclear. One of the reasons that you're hearing what you are from Alex and from me, frankly, right now, is because of the issue of micro nukes, and that's been these are the fourth generation dial-a-nukes or variable yield nuclear weapons that nobody admits is out there. The aging idea that there are such things as suitcase nukes, or the Ukrainians sold hundreds of these off, or whatever. Well, this technology, it's been around for a few years, but this isn't a technology. It isn't a technology that's allowed by treaty, but this is a technology that exists, and these weapons aren't suitcases, they aren't trunks, they're attaché cases. And
well,
there are
exactly
a lot of them out there.
What exactly is an attaché case? Sorry?
Go ahead.
What exactly is an attaché case? I mean,
an attaché case is that's American talk for a briefcase.
Oh, okay.
James Bond in From Russia with Love had what we would call an attaché case.
Okay, continue.
Okay, yeah. A small briefcase. And a small briefcase can hold a nuclear device of several kilotons. The other issue about micro-nukes is that micro-nukes put out radiation on a surface blast that goes less than 800 yards, diminishes quickly, or on an underground blast, less than 50 yards, with 90% of the residual radiation gone in 3 days and all of it in 2 weeks, meaning that this idea that you're going to have a 2-million-year half-life of a glowing area of the neighborhood and no one able to live there for generations and generations, That simply doesn't apply for these weapons. What this has done is it's created a weapon that people, instead of using a truck bomb, why bother? Use a nuke.
Well, a nuke is much easier to disguise if you've got a guy wearing a suit, isn't it?
This is the thing about
weapons of mass destruction is that you need weapons of mass deception in order to deliver them.
And we're surrounded by nothing else, Vinny.
Pardon?
Well, that's all we have is deception, and it isn't just the mainstream news. You know, half of us, you know, we're the alternative news here, and yet we're continually looking at ourselves because every other one of us is going down some unusual lane here that doesn't serve the purposes of getting the truth out. And you know how suspicious all of us have gotten with each other, you know, especially since WikiLeaks.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing, this whole fog of war phenomenon, isn't it? Is, you know, causing truthers to fight against truthers. And, you know, what's interesting, a phenomenon in the truth movement for me, I mean, or conspiracy theory, you know, whatever mantle you want to give it, patriots, freedom advocates, etc. The fact of the matter is, whenever a bad thing happens or whatever, even if we know the answer to the question, we still ask, oh, how can that be that the Federal Reserve is creating all this currency? We know the answer, but we still ask the question, because we're hoping in our heart of hearts that the answer that we already know to be 100% true and backed up with fact and evidence is still wrong. We blindly hope it, and we still ask these questions anyway, hoping to goodness sake that somebody please tell me something different that I haven't heard before that has more evidence than I've got to back it up. But there isn't any. It's like we're playing a psyop on ourselves to try and deal with the terrible reality by denying it, by questioning it. You know, it's just really strange.
Well, there's this idea also that we have to put a name on an enemy, and as soon as we use a name, if we call them Freemasons or we call them the New World Order or the Bilderbergers or the Illuminati, but once we put a name on whatever it is, we know it's out there. We know somebody hates all of us. There's no question about this. We know there's a dark force there, but we're not allowed to ever name it. And
where's the censorship coming from?
Well, today we're talking about a nuclear weapon being used to incinerate an American city. Who gains from that? Who would want to kill 3,000 Americans on 9/11, who'd want to kill a million Americans? And you could say, well, no American would ever want that. No American president, no director of the FBI or CIA, or no group of powerful, wealthy Americans or Israelis or people from Israel or people like that would ever want to do such a thing. And we know better. We know that that most of us don't. We don't exist as any sort of usable being to them at all. Who is them? You know, we live our entire lives here with this basic belief that's pushed onto us. Just turn on the television. All you see are mass murderers.
Who is them in your view, Gordon? Who is them in your view? I'm interested.
Go ahead.
Who are they, in your opinion? Who are these people that have no attachment to American citizens that they can slaughter, or to Arabs?
We have to be surrounded. What we know is we're surrounded by a sociopathic entity, and it's almost like a corporate non-person, an inhuman monster of some kind. Well, let's look at the American military, for instance. When you can train children that are raised on video games to drop weapons onto funerals, cemeteries, blow up people's homes, we've got soldiers who, of course, you know, we saw what they did in Abu Ghraib. We know that we have soldiers that served in Afghanistan that were simply driving around shooting civilians outside of the vehicle, sticking a gun out the window and just turning it to full auto, tossing hand grenades into crowds for amusement. And this is the young people, this is our own children, have been turned into this somehow.
Well, they're not behind the new world order. I mean, people... there's malevolent individuals everywhere. Are you saying they constitute the new world order, or they constitute the Freemasons? Or, I mean, who's the enemy if you've got to pin it down?
Well, I think we've been pre-staged to be inhuman. In the U.S., we have such powerful divides here that if you're a Christian, of course, an evangelical Zionist Dominionist Christian, we have one state here, South Dakota, over the last 2 weeks has been openly discussing legislation that would legalize the murder of any doctor who would give a legal abortion. Anyone that is, according to the law, anyone that would be a potential threat to a fetus, potential threat, can be killed. And so if you went up to a hospital and then just went into the gynecology clinic and murdered everyone, theoretically, in the state of South Dakota, if they...
Well, we will get into this just after the break. Our very special guest, Gordon Duff from Veterans Today, joins us for the duration of this final hour. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, where you can catch our archives and some amazing articles too. We'll be right back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa,
and welcome
Ottawa,
back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, wherever you are. You're listening to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. I'm your host, Vinnie Eastwood, and with me, as always, is my fabulous co-host, Will Ryan. And our very special guest joins us now, Gordon Duff from Veterans Today. Gordon, there was one thing that we really kind of wanted to explore on this show, and we'll probably want to get into that next segment about Egypt and the general geopolitical makeup. But before that, one thing we really did want to get into is sort of the truth movement itself, demonization, psyops, and things of this nature, because the alternative media is now growing exponentially, and as a result, there is now increasing infighting and also increasing demonization of the movements that are trying to basically free humanity. And indeed, there's an awful lot of suspicion between, you know, people like, oh, he's a shill, etc., etc. You know, and I can't make up my mind half the time. I mean, and one thing we wanted to know is what your perspective is on all of this. I mean, is it psyops? Is it fog of war? Or is it just people just being too paranoid because they're smoking too much weed?
Well, the alternative media really started out years ago when, back in the 80s, Newt Gingrich invited the James Bond bad guy, Dr. No, Rupert Murdoch of News Corp Fox News, into the United States, gave him control of a network. From there, he bought everything. And Fox News has been not just alternative, it's been Fleabag, nutcase, make-it-up, crazed, partisan, extremist news. And it set the tone for everyone to head that way. It's not so much that alternative news took over. It's that mainstream news either became press releases from the government, a government that we all believe lost its way, or became utterly flaky, and mainstream news in the U.S., not only is it not investigative, it's absolutely over the edge. The rest of us, you know, we live in an environment, you know, I run probably, we have 150 people at Veterans Today. We're the largest alternative news source. We're the eighth largest newspaper in the United States. We work on a budget that would barely fill a tank of gas. It's all volunteers. And the option was to take on a, and we have a fairly large editorial staff, and we talk about this every day. Do we take on beliefs that are exclusive? Do we say, this guy, if he doesn't believe in airplanes crashing into that building, he's not okay? And if that person uses this term but not that term, he's not okay? And we can't be like that. And that's how so much of our alternative media has become, because, well, frankly, we're very flawed people. And almost everybody's running a one- or two-man operation. And the other part of this, other part of the alternative media, is that many of the sites out there that appear to be alternative media are owned by the mainstream media corporations. So we have real alternative media, and we're suspicious of each other. We've got phony alternative media. And then, well, this is the WikiLeaks issue, and you and I went through this a few weeks ago. WikiLeaks, I think, brought out of the closet that many of the people who refer to themselves as anti-Zionists, people who have built their reputation about Israel being bad, well, it's beginning to look like they were always working for Israel as it's gone along, and that's where this shill thing comes out. But if we allow ourselves to be defined by this issue of WikiLeaks being, which is an intelligence operation, a psyop against all of us, those of us in the intel business pick that up immediately. But if we let WikiLeaks dominate the news for us, then we're slaves to them just by reacting to them. The other bad end of that, Vinny, is just this. WikiLeaks built traffic on our site fivefold just by going after them. When WikiLeaks is, no matter how stupid, whatever it is they say, all of us have our traffic built because of the controversy, because they create news. We're as bad as anyone else. Unless there's disaster, unless there's scandal, unless there's controversy, we're just like the regular news. We don't have the listeners, we don't have the readers, unless things are screwed up. And it's,
but it's real scandal and it's real controversy and it's real corruption, as opposed to, you know, what we see on the mainstream networks, right?
Well, and real cats stuck up trees. And one question we wanted to ask you, Gordon, is about what you feel about the Huffington Post using all volunteers and then selling the company to AOL. All right, apparently,
oh, yeah.
There's a big uprising at the Huff. Everybody's all up in a Huff, supposedly threatening to quit.
Well, they, as a volunteer organization, they still had their webmaster staff alone cost almost $10 million a year to operate. So they were always a major mainstream operation anyway. And as far as their beliefs or controversy, probably a third of the writers at Veterans Today have been thrown out of Huffington Post. If you wanted to be thrown out of there, all you had to do was use the word Israel in a negative fashion in any way. And since our relationship with Israel defined our foreign policy, and really, if we wanted to admit it, defines the economic collapse of the United States, the and even the worldwide economic collapse, it all comes out of Tel Aviv one way or another without having to go into a Rothschild family conspiracy. Well, when you write out Israel, or you write out any of the conspiracy theories about them, frankly, you've also written out 80% of the real news. All Huffington Post ever did was produce fluff. And if you looked on their page, it's Lindsay Lohan and swimsuit models and whatever.
So it would be more amply termed the Fluffington Post.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm glad to see them with AOL. I think they're with people they belong with.
Going back to your earlier comments, Gordon, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, you mentioned that there's some people in the alternative media who you feel are going down the bad path, or, you know, maybe co-opted in some sense. I mean, upon what basis are you making that judgment? Upon what upon what information or indicators are you making that sort of deduction?
Well, some of the key people that you and I know and would name, I communicate with by email. All of us know each other fairly well. And some of the people who appear to be very anti-Israel, very pro-Gaza, which I fall into that area, Ken O'Keefe, of course, is the great leader of everyone. On back-channel emails, when it came down to supporting Julian Assange, well, the things that went back and forth between us also began including a lot of language that that directly contradicted the views that they espouse in their materials. So people that fall into this category, I've had communication with them where their real views, they appear to not only, people who talk about being anti-Zionist are not only extremely pro-Israel in private correspondence, but either are senselessly blind or on somebody's payroll, and it could be my life ambition to figure that out, but I'd rather move forward than mull about, well, all I am is I have lost trust in some people who are around me, I've been disappointed, and I'm just moving on past them. And all of us here, you know, and Jonathan Aziza probably writes about this most, and if anything, probably speaks about it more cohesively and intelligently than I do. But we have been greatly disappointed because we have found that us, the alternative media, the people who are genuinely independent, is only about 10 to 20% of us. And others, well, when people get their articles printed in the mainstream media and get TV exposure that certainly others of us are denied, when people are receive speaking engagements, things like this, paid, and we see a lot of this. When we see money going toward people, because we know how much money we make, the three of us here, we know what we get for the work we do. We get next to nothing, and we work hard. And others among us have secret friends, and it's not hard to figure out. But I'm not going to build my life around it, but I'm also not going to be blind. You know, and
specifically, I mean, which individuals would you be putting in this category?
The person who I like on a personal basis most of all has been Israel Shamir, you know, who's really a wonderful guy. And Shamir, of course, is seen continually with Julian Assange. But it was one thing when early on he was seen with Assange, and it's another thing when we all learned that Julian Assange was working for the State of Israel. Now, I have one of the most outspoken anti-Zionists in the world with the longest history of anti-Zionism who is now joined at the hip with the most threatening agent of the Mossad. And when I see that, and there's no question about Julian Assange. I mean, Zbigniew Brzezinski picked it out. We've all picked it out. You know, when it came to, well, I can't do anything that upsets Israel, or our articles are picked out by the New York Times, or we can't do anything to bother our wealthy supporters. You know, as this story broke open, Assange was 100% Israel. He's 100% war against Iran. He's 100% intelligence agency material. WikiLeaks is totally phony. And those people who stood with him, now there were those who, I wanted him to be legitimate. He's not the least bit legitimate. He represents money, power, and everything wrong in the world. He's a total and absolute phony. And there are people who would stay by him because they're fools, because they're dreamers, because they choose not to see the truth, because they're weak. And then there are people I know that are capable who stay with someone because they've never been one of us. And Shamir's the one. But, you know, frankly, you know, there's a tremendous amount of back channel and front channel bashing between Shamir and those around him and veterans today. And, you know, I don't have to defend Veterans Day, first of all, because we're 100 times bigger than the other publications, in some cases 1,000 times bigger. That's not much of an issue. And we're not doctrinaire fanatics. I don't want Julian Assange to be bad. I don't want Israel to be bad. We've got very interesting views here. We support the truth as best we can, try to get there, make mistakes, and if we do, we repair them. And we're around other people who, frankly...
Well, my assumption is, Gordon, that everything I know to be true is in fact wrong, and I just haven't seen the evidence yet. You know, so that way, if I've been proven wrong, then I'm right. And if I'm proven right, then I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, and you know, my life has been nothing but one humiliation for being idiotically wrong after another. I wouldn't know what I know, as with you, if I hadn't been such a total idiot for so long. And even still, as soon as you move beyond what you can prove and dots that really connect, as soon as you want too badly to find an answer before you have the evidence, you risk being a total fool. And this is where the problem we get to, because everyone expects us to come up with an end answer. These are the bad guys. These are the good guys. This is what someone did. Well, I can't go that far because the evidence just simply isn't there. You know, in 9/11, I can say an airplane didn't knock down 2 airplanes. 100 airplanes would not knock down the World Trade Center. That I know. Past that...
And we'll be right back after this very short break. Sorry to interrupt you there, Gordon. Our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Gordon Duff from Veterans Today. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
The way it's going to be.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Our very special guest joining us for this final segment is Gordon Duff from Veterans Today. One element that has been, well, all over the media, being blown into perhaps, I would say, appropriate proportion is the Middle East instability, right? We've got so many regimes, most of them US-backed, to my knowledge, who are now being overthrown by the people. Now, Gordon, what's your opinion of this? I mean, is it just basically a CIA-staged or intelligence agency-staged, rather, event to destabilize the Middle East, to push up the oil prices, to destabilize the rest of the world as a order out of chaos type of playbook here?
Well, and the issue about that, Vinny, Will, is that what if a cigar is just a cigar and people simply got sick and tired, overthrew their governments, and we're so cynical that when people are doing something decent and right somehow, that they've proven that you can take a social medium, you know, in this case, the struggle was begun out of Facebook. I've got a 3-man crew in Egypt, 2 in Cairo, 1 in Alexandria, that were in the streets. You know, we did live broadcasts from the streets. We've done stuff out of Gaza, certainly, with Ken O'Keefe. We've been following this, and whatever may have stimulated this The CIA may think it runs the world, and it may have been involved, but it's definitely out of hand. The stuff in Bahrain, that is a vicious government there, and they can't be gone quickly enough. Jordan is in horrible need of reform. You know, it's a very divided state with a massive refugee population. I spend a certain amount of time there in Egypt and elsewhere. I can't see these states fall quickly enough. You know, the message out here, you know, it used to be this message that Israel's the only democratic state in the Middle East, and that Arabs are no good. They're all people that want to live in some. Well, what do we describe it? You know, they want to be bossed around by mullahs or some crazy emir. And of all of us, they're the ones turning out to have the democratic spirit. They're the ones in the street. They're the ones looking for the real democracy. Egypt in particular, this is a totally secular revolution, totally democratic revolution, the kind of thing that we haven't seen anywhere in the world for a very long time. And these countries are Muslim countries doing this, which totally disproves everything our Islamophobic media in the U.S. has been telling us. What will be interesting is when the least democratic country in the Middle East, when this is all done, is going to be Israel. And it's the United States that doesn't seem to like democracies very much. You know, not when it threatens American control. And the things that have had that have pushed this on, you know, as much as I look on this as something that WikiLeaks probably started, utterly unseen. Once you start something moving, you don't know where it's going to go. But once you get people talking, you just don't know where the ripples will end. And WikiLeaks is one of the things that started these ripples, and it is the opposite. The absolute opposite of what WikiLeaks was supposed to do. And right now, Egypt is in the hands of the people there, and yeah, it could all be stolen away, and you and I are fearful of that. You know, and yeah, we're looking and saying, well, yeah, if somebody gets in that's going to be democratic, maybe the CIA is going to kill them, maybe the Mossad's running everything, maybe. And maybe, just maybe, the people of Egypt are not going to take it anymore, and if somebody tries to take this away from them, they'll go to the streets again. Maybe they've decided they've had enough after how many years? The people of Egypt, this is 6,000 years.
We're talking 30 and 40 years kind of thing, like several decades. And in fact, we're talking about, and it's mostly, ironically enough, it's the younger generations who have lived under this type of rule for the entirety of their lifespans. It's not the middle class who have seen something better and seen it descend into something worse. It's those who don't know any better, who are simply just fed up. You know, and that's my great hope, is that it is, in fact, a genuine revolution on the part of people who are, well, I don't know, perhaps young and idealistic, which may lead to an explosion of freedom in the Middle East. And I seem slightly more cynical because of the fact that all the mainstream media is covering it. And I don't know, maybe this is an ironic point of view, that is, if the mainstream media covers everything, it's probably in some part, in no small part, BS to a certain extent.
Hey, but, you know, Vinny, maybe there was no one ready to give them orders to do something else. Because... You know, the mainstream media, as far as I'm concerned, they're getting orders from somewhere. You can't be that stupid just on your own.
Well, maybe you're right. Thank you very much, Gordon, for joining us on the show today. Ladies and gentlemen, your website is veteranstoday.com, isn't it, Gordon?
Yes, it is.
All right. Check out his articles at veteranstoday.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank very much our great crew here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show, my co-host Will, and our somewhat fabulous executive producer, Mitch Santel, our grand associate producer, Chris, Adam and Daniel and Danny and all the folks at AFR, all the other show hosts as well. It's basically just a fabulous little network and a great team that we have here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And I'm so grateful that we get to do it pretty much every day, because getting up to mess with the New World Order is a grand thing. Much more wakening up than a cup of coffee. We'll see you again sometime.